Being here and joining us for worship today, excited about what the Lord has in store for us. And so just want to welcome you. If you are a guest, we'd love to connect with you. There's a couple ways we could do that. There should be a card in the pew back in front of you. You're more than welcome to fill that information out. And at the end of service, you can leave in the offering plate, or you can leave it laying in the pew there next to you, and we'll collect that. And it's a way for us to know who's worshiping with us. And if there's any prayer requests you might have, you can leave those. Or if you prefer, whether in person or if you joined us online, you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says I'm new, and you can click that button and fill that information out. And again, we're grateful that you've chosen to worship with us today. And so I need to make you aware of a few things happening and coming up here at the church. First of all, this morning or after our service, I hope that you've made plans, or you will make plans to stay around. We have a potluck fellowship immediately following our service today in honor of Miss Linda. She's retired from serving there in the office, and so it's an opportunity just for us to come alongside and encourage her and say thanks and show our appreciation. And so love for you to stay around. There's plenty of food down there, and so make plans to stick around for that and enjoy a time of fellowship. Also, tonight at 6:30, Deidre and I will be hosting our in-home prayer meetings that we're doing over the next several weeks and gearing up for our revival meeting that we have planned September the 8th. And so our address is there in the bulletin. It begins at 6:30, and we're just focused on praying for lost people and praying for revival. And so we'd love to have you come to our home tonight and join us for a time of prayer. The sign-up sheet is back out there in case you're interested in hosting one of these at your home. You can sign up for one of those dates. We do need somebody for next week. And so if you're willing to host us, and again, it's just a group of us coming and praying. That's it. So we just need a place to do that. And so if you'd be willing to do that, we'd sure be grateful. And so just take note of that. Next Sunday, we are having lunch with the pastor. This is our class for those that are interested, wanting to join, interested in joining our fellowship. And so that's, again, immediately after service. But if you'd let me know if you're planning to attend that, we do provide a meal with that, and should last about an hour or so. And we just cover some important information regarding the joining of our church. And so, and again, coming to that or being at that is not a commitment. It's a way for you to learn and know more what's happening and going on and how you can join and be a part. But it is a requirement to go through that to join our church. So we'd love for you to do that or consider that. Tech Sunday is coming up. That will be soon. You'll be hearing some more information about that. School will be resuming before very long. And so there's a lot of activities. You know, we do a lot as a church gearing up for school resuming, both local schools and elementary, junior high, high school, and as well as Arkansas Tech. And so the other thing I did want to mention to you is we had a lot of requests this week to for our food pantry. And we served a lot of families, 7, 8, 9 families, something like that this week. Jonathan, I don't remember our church or our food pantry being hit so hard in 1 week. And so if you're interested in giving toward that, or if you're interested in just going and buying some groceries, there is on the back of your bulletin, there's a box there. Give some information on items that we need for the food pantry. And to be honest with you, it's hit pretty hard. So anything you've got will be a help and of assistance. And so just take note of that. And if you can do that, just let us know. Give us a heads up if you want to bring that by the church, and we can assist you with that. Okay? All right, I know that's a lot of announcements. There's a lot of things going on. Please make sure you're paying attention to your bulletin or the weekly email that we send out so that you can be up to date on all the latest and greatest here at Second Baptist, all right? We are starting to gear up and try to get focused as best we can and prepared for revival. I'm going to talk about that as a part of my sermon and today and the series that we're beginning. In my quiet time this morning, I did read this, and I thought it was just helpful. It challenged my heart, and it says this, and just going to use it in a, or apply it, I think it's appropriate for gearing up and thinking about revival. But Proverbs 20, verse 4, it says, "The lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing." Obviously, in terms of the seasons of where we're at, just on the calendar day, harvest is coming for a lot of crops and a lot of farmers here. And I know that most of your gardens have already put off what they're going to put off, and on the downhill slide of that in some ways, unless you're just really getting after it and doing a great job. But in terms of the field crops and mega crop, and they're starting to come off. It is getting nearly that season and that time. But that is only happening because of the work that was done this spring and some of the work that was done this winter in preparation for that. And so why talk about that this morning is that in a few weeks we have a meeting scheduled where Sam Moore is going to come in, and he is going to lead us in a series of meetings, and we call it Revival. And it's really just several intentional church services beginning on Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night. It's a great opportunity to invite neighbors, invite friends, invite other church folks. It's a great opportunity for us to focus in. And the point of focus of is asking God to send revival to His church and that more people would come to know Him. But the only way that's going to come, or that's going to happen, or we're going to see that fruit, is that the work, if you will, has to be done now. And that work comes through prayer and fasting and asking God to do what only He can. And so it would be as ludicrous as it is for the farmer to get to September or October and expect the cornfields to be filled when he did no work in the spring or in the winter to get ready for that and to plan and get ready for that. Similarly, for us to get to September 8th, 9th, and 10th and expect God to move in incredible ways, but we've not done anything to get ready for the harvest, it just doesn't add up. That math doesn't math, right? With that, over the next several weeks, we're going to talk a lot about prayer and talk about preparation for revival. And we, as a part of our service, we typically have a time where we just pause and pray. Those times are going to be a little bit more extended the next several weeks with purpose and intention so that we may take a moment and do some of the groundwork that's necessary that we may see God move in a way that only He can. Amen? And so, with that, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to have a moment where, in just a minute, I'll ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. But I am, especially for our church folks, I am inviting you. Now, let me say this. I understand that there's plenty of folks that have gotten to a point just physically where you're not able to come and get on your knees anymore. And I know for a lot of you, you long to do that, and I understand. And so I'm going to talk a lot over the next several weeks about coming and praying. And I don't, I'll talk more about this in my message. I understand not everybody's able to do that. But if you are, or if you want to come and just sit on one of these pews, and again, I'm going to talk more about posture of prayer for my message this morning. But before we begin, I just wanted to call us to prayer, and we're praying that God's hand will be upon today's service, that God would move today, but that He would ready and prepare our heart for revival, okay? So here in just a minute, when I just sort of call us to an attitude of prayer, I'm also inviting you to come, if you're able to and want to come, and let's just take a couple minutes. This is going to be a little bit longer than what we normally do. You know, 3, 4, 5 minutes is not going to be really drawn out, but we're going to have just an intentional time of prayer and asking God to do what only He can do. I'm going to ask Brother Robin. He'll just play softly, and we're going to focus in on the Lord. So if you will, if you'll bow your head and close your eyes, and if you're willing and you're able, and you'll come and just kneel at the front, and let's just be intentional with asking God to work and to move among His church, in our lives, in your life. And if you're not able to, or you feel uncomfortable doing that, then you just pray right where you're at. spend a few minutes asking God to do what only He can. Ask the Lord to help us to do the work now in the winter months that we may see the harvest. Ask Him to teach us, show us what is revival. What is prayer? Ask the Lord to give us great faith to believe and trust that He can do a great work. Oh God, we need You. God, I believe if we're honest, Lord, we need You more today than we ever have. God, I know there are some in this room that need You to work in their life, in their health. Whether You're using medicine to restore their health or, God, they need a healing from You, God. Lord, I pray that You would do a great work in their life. Lord, I know there may be some among us this morning, God, that need You to touch their relationships. God, I pray that You would work. Lord, forgive us for lack of faith. Forgive us for not having much desperation. Lord, forgive us for apathy. And Lord Jesus, we come to You today. Lord, I pray that You, Spirit of God, will be upon every aspect of our service today. That You would lead and guide and direct every portion. And Spirit, would You pour Yourself out today? That God, that when we leave here today, it hasn't just been another Sunday. It hasn't just been another Sunday service. God, that today's not just another song we sing or a sermon we hear. But God, we want to meet with You today. We want to hear from You. We want to worship You in spirit and in truth. And God, we pray that You'll be glorified in this. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand with us as we sing Revive Us Again? What a great hymn. That's a prayer as we think about focusing on revival and preparing for that. Let this be our opening prayer this morning.
We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for Thy Spirit of life.
prayer this morning. God, revive us. And you know what? If you're thirsty, if you are weary, oh, God is the well that never runs dry. And maybe that's where we're at as individuals and even as a church. As we think about revival, let us once again come to the well that will never satisfy. This song a few weeks ago. It's a great reminder of how God created us in the first place. God created us to live in perfect relationship with Him. You know what? Sin, it comes into our life and it breaks that perfect relationship, doesn't it? And even as people of God, sometimes we go after the things of the world and we forget the reason why we were made. We were made to walk with Him. We were made to give Him glory with all that we are. So let this song be a reminder of why God made you. He made you so much more than what this world has to offer. He saved you. He's redeemed you. All because He loves you.
Of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and free.
To you this morning. No matter what has happened in your life, He is chasing after you because that is our God. And isn't it incredible that no matter how far we run from God, the moment that we understand that we are in sin and we confess those sins and we turn back toward Him, He doesn't ask us to make our way back to Him. He meets us. You know what He does? You know what I found out that He does in my life? He picks me up. And He carries me back to where I needed to be in the first place. Oh, the goodness, the kindness, and the love of our everlasting Father. Let's continue to raise our voices about this wonderful God that we serve.
Fails me all my days. I've been All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I
If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, would you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. 2 Chronicles 7, 14, and we will begin there in just a few moments. Just by way of illustration, I am starting a series this week in preparation for revival. See, revival is for church folks, and it is for those who have been born again, walk with the Lord, and for whatever reason, need a fresh touch, need a renewing. See, I don't know where your heart's at or where you're at spiritually this week or in this season of your life. But I sense that for a lot of folks, and at times myself. I need a fresh touch from the Lord. Tired. Tired physically, but tired spiritually. Seems like everywhere that you turn, it's just taxing. A lot of people wanting something from you. Maybe you're in a season where it seems like the intimacy and closeness with the Lord isn't quite where maybe it once was. Maybe it's just dry. Doing all that you know to do, but it's just a dry season. See, I think we need seasons where we focus and have a renewing from the Lord. And unfortunately, we live in a day and culture where we're not really good at resting and waiting on the Lord, right? I mean, our culture is get everything done now and in a hurry and as fast as we possibly can. But here's what I know about revival. I've never experienced, I've never been a part of all-out, true, sure enough revival. I've gotten to be a part of some things where God poured Himself out in a special way, but it wasn't revival. It was a mercy drop. Some of the old horses used to say the mercy drops. I've experienced that, and man, I long for even that. I long that we may get to see a sweeping revival, not just in our church, but across our lands. Anybody realize we need a work of God, not just in our nation, but in our world? Amen? Surely we can agree there, right? We can find some common ground there. But here's what I know about revival is I can't conjure up and I can't make revival happen. Revival comes from heaven. True, authentic revival comes from the Lord and the Lord alone. And I'm excited about having Sam Moore come and he's going to come and preach what God lays on his heart. Yeah, he's a redheaded preacher, so you get another one, all right? But he's going to come and he's going to preach. But here's what I know. He, like, you know, I've used Brother Ronnie several times in the past and just felt like the Lord laid Sam on my heart, and so I called him. He's excited about coming, but he can't put revival in a suitcase or stick it in his Bible and come open it up and revival just fall out. It only comes from the Lord. But here's what I know is that several of you have got a fireplace in your home. And when winter comes, is not the preferred time to go get firewood, right? Less than ideal. Especially if you can't find anything cut, right? You got to cut it and all that. Not good planning. Here's what I know is that I can't, you can't, manufacture revival. But here's what I believe we can do. I believe we can stack the wood in preparation and expecting, asking God to send revival. And so, church family, I'm calling on you. I believe the Lord is calling us to, over the next several weeks, well, I'm going to preach what I believe God's laid on my heart in this focus, in this, that we can't send revival, we can't conjure up, only God can, but we can do all that we can do to stack the wood that God may send the fire of revival. And so I'm asking you as your pastor to commit today that as the Lord leads us and guides us through this time, that we do all that we can to stack the wood in preparation for God to work and do what only God can do. I can't bring it. You can't bring it. No evangelist can bring revival. But I do believe the people of God can stack the wood in preparation for God sending revival. Amen? 2 Chronicles chapter 7, beginning in verse 14. I want to preach to you a message that I've titled, Nothing to Hear. Nothing to Hear. So if you find your place and you're willing and you're able, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? It's a familiar verse to most of us. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your grace and mercy. I pray now, God, would you teach us? Lord, would you challenge us, stir us up this morning? And that, God, you would do a work that no man could take credit for, but that you and you alone would be glorified. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I'm excited this morning to share this message with you because there are often times where the Lord lays out and as a pastor gives a sense of direction, or I start preaching through a book like the book of John, and man, we're just going through that, and that's where my heartbeat, my passion is. That's what I love to do. But every now and then, God is gracious, and in your time with the Lord, He sort of drops something in your lap and stirs your heart about it, and that's what He's done this morning. And the old preachers used to say, I'm going to preach this morning out of the overflow. Man, God gave me some things this week that I believe He wants our church to have, and I'm going to preach this familiar verse, but really just a phrase of it. And God showed me some things in reading and studying, and man, it just stirred and challenged my heart. And again, I don't know what's going on in your life, but I would imagine many of us would at least say to some degree, Pastor, I need a fresh touch from the Lord to some degree. And there are some of us that you probably feel like that you're hanging on by a thread. And dear friend, let me encourage you this morning, there is more of the Lord to be had. There is more that, yes, there's a day we're longing for when our face shall become sight, and then we close our earthly eyes and open our heavenly eyes and we long for that day. But dear friend, I also believe there is more to be had in this life. That when Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly, He wasn't just talking about in heaven, but He's talking about eternal life right now. And so I don't know what's going on in your life, but dear friend, I just believe God has something more for us personally and then corporately together as a church family. And I'm going to preach to you from 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's a very well-known verse. There's been a lot of opinions about it. Yes, I understand the context, and I understand it was originally given to the children of Israel as a nation, and they're talking about a lot of different things, okay? However, I do believe, let me just shortly say this, is that I do believe that the principle in which God lays out here, it was not a verse given to the church to talk about revival, but I do believe the principle of what is being taught here applies to us today. Okay? And so, I don't have a lot of time to spend there. If you want to talk about it later, I'd be glad to talk about it with you, okay? But just want to look this morning quickly at 7:14. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Why do we have this verse? Well, God is giving this verse through the prophet to Solomon as a response to Solomon's prayer of dedication in chapter 6. If you remember, David wanted to build the house of the Lord. He wanted to build this wonderful tabernacle and dwelling place of God. But because David had too much blood on his hands, the Lord showed up and said, no, you don't get to build it. You can do some preparation, and your son Solomon's going to build it. And that's exactly what happened. David dies. He had done some preparation. God gives wisdom to Solomon how to build this. And so the temple is built. They're getting ready. They're offering, getting ready to offer sacrifices. And before he does, he calls all the people together, and Solomon stands up and he leads the people in praying for God's hand to be upon this place of worship. And as a result, this is what God gives. And so there's some truths here this morning. To be honest with you, I've just given you the outline just because I know you're used to that and giving you some things, but I'm just going to preach the text, all right? And so here's the main idea of the message this morning. God hears the prayers of His people. God hears the prayers of His people. The question this morning and the focus of this is, does God hear your prayers? Does God hear you pray? The title of the message is, There's Nothing to Hear. And the title of the message is that because as I was reading and looking at this, man, I'm just convicted at times. I've not seen God answer prayer in my own life because I haven't prayed it. Now listen, I realize at the core of who I am a problem child. So I'm probably the only one in the room with this issue. That sometimes I look to God to give answers to prayers I've not prayed. Sometimes I'm longing for God to move and I've not even asked Him to. Sometimes I'm looking and expecting the hand of God to do and to work in the situations that I've not even asked for. So this morning I want to preach to you about nothing to hear. So number one, there's nothing to hear when sin is involved. There's nothing to hear when sin is involved. You hear the precursor. My people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. Notice there's some stacking of the wood that has to happen. There's a humility. There's a turning to the Lord. But there is a repentance that must take place. Now, why will sin drive us or cause us to not pray or for the prayers not to be heard? Listen to what Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But look at this. But our iniquities have separated us from us and our God. Look, that He will not hear. That He will not hear. God is a holy God and sin separates us from God. Yes, for a believer, we have the indwelling of the Spirit. We have the security of the believer that Jesus has saved us for all of eternity and we cannot lose that salvation. And so when a believer sins, it's not that their fellowship or their relationship is broken, but their fellowship is hindered. And that happens in two ways. One, sometimes as a believer, you get into sin and what happens is you just start avoiding some spiritual things. Not quite as diligent to go to church. Not quite as diligent to get in the Word. Not quite as faithful to have strong conversations with your Christian friends. What happens sometimes when we get out of lockstep with the Lord Jesus, we begin to drift and get away from the things of God. And when we do, we're not praying nearly as much. Listen, God answers this prayer that Solomon prays in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Look there. We'll walk through some of that, but he several times in this, even in 6:22, if anyone sins against his neighbor, is forced back, and he says, comes back to him and prays, then hear. God's not hearing some of our prayers because we've gotten out of fellowship with the Lord, and we need to be restored back to Him because we're not praying. Because sin causes us to cover our shame. That's what Adam and Eve did, right? They had been walking. They had been in fellowship with God. They had had a consistent day in which they had a time of day which they walked with the Lord. But when they sinned against God, they went and hid from Him. Some of you maybe been hiding from God because you're walking out of fellowship with Him and you're not in right relationship with Him. And so God's not answering your prayers because you're not praying. And dear friends, stacking the wood is repenting and turning to the Lord. And some of you this morning, you just need to come and crumble back at the feet of the Lord Jesus and let Him restore the fellowship. And confess sin that's in your life. Sin will cause you to run away from Him. But then other times, if there's sin in our life that's unconfessed sin, it's gossip, and it's backbiting, and it's hatred, and it's bitterness and unforgiveness that you're holding on to over church hurt or over family hurt or whatever it is. And oh, you're uttering words, but your iniquities have separated you between you and your God that He will not hear. Some people have probably said it more accurately than we like to think, that sometimes when we pray, it feels like it bounces off the roof of the ceiling. And sometimes that's true because we've got sin in our life that is unconfessed and unrepentant sin. And so, dear friend, there's a reason at times there's nothing to hear, and it's because sin is hindering our relationship, or sin is hindering our fellowship, rather, with the Lord. Isaiah 1:15 says, "When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." What's he saying? He's saying you're guilty. There may be some this morning that you've never repented and placed your faith and trust in Christ. The only prayer that God hears from a lost man is the prayer of repentance, because sin separates you from God. But it's the prayer of repentance that God hears. And for some of you, you're believers, and man, you're living in a life of sin. And yes, maybe you're praying about a lot of things, but it's like, man, there's nothing. It seems like God doesn't hear. It's likely because you've got sin in your life and you need to repent. I know. It's tough this morning, right? That's why I asked you to help stack the wood before we got into this, right? I wanted you to commit before you knew what you're committing to, right? That's the way. But God's not hearing prayer because there's sin in our lives. It keeps us from praying, or it hinders that fellowship with the Lord. Then number two. Second reason nothing's being heard: there's nothing to hear when there's nothing said. Nothing to hear when there's nothing said. I want us to focus on this in two aspects. A, nothing is said personally. Nothing is said personally. I want you to picture this. The tabernacle has been built. Man, people have gathered, and there are people as far as you can see. And Solomon is standing there, and he is pouring his heart out to the Lord, begging for the presence of God to be upon that place. I want you to notice a couple things that he prays. There's nothing is said personally. Notice this back in chapter 6, and we're going to spend some time there. Chapter 6, verse 22, "If anyone sins against you, his neighbor, and is forced to take an oath and comes and takes an oath before your altar in this temple," verse 23, "then hear from heaven." What's going on? He's talking about personal sin. He's talking about things going on in his life. He's talking about things personally. We're going to talk about the other side of this, but personal, one-on-one relationship with the Lord. Saying, if your people get in this situation and they turn to you, then hear. God, will you hear? And then verse 29, he says, "Whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made by anyone or by all your people Israel, each one knows his own burden and his own grief and spreads out his hands to the temple. What's he saying? They've gotten so far away, but when they finally come back, but before they come back, what happened? There was no praying. They got burdened. They got separated. They got in sin. They were struggling. Why? Because they weren't walking with the Lord. They weren't spending time with the Lord. They weren't praying. And so, in essence, there's no prayer to be heard because personally, in their relationship, they're not seeking the Lord. Dear friend, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what your walk with the Lord is like right now. But may we not be guilty of, should the Lord tarry and we get to time where we focus and we ask God to send revival and we're begging and we get to the end of that and we look back and we get to that week expecting great things to happen, but then we look back and go, man, we just didn't ask God for it. A few weeks ago, I talked about that if you had access to unlimited resources at any time at your disposal, there is no way you would not exhaust that resource. Yet at the same time, as believers, that's exactly what we have. Unlimited resources and access any time. Because the Lord has invited us in. So, dear friend, I'm just challenging you. What does your personal prayer life look like? Let me ask you this way. If the Lord answered every prayer you prayed this week, can I ask you how your life would be different? If He answered every prayer you prayed this week for yourself, your personal life, how would things look differently? If God answered every prayer you prayed this week, how would other people's lives change? I wonder, what would our church look like if the Lord answered every prayer you prayed for your church family this week? If God answered today, and saved every lost person you asked to be saved this week, how many be saved this week, today? How about your coworkers, neighbors? Hey, listen, I'm not kicking you. This is an oh me. Because if I'm honest with you, man, I'm not seeking the Lord as nearly as desperate as there's been other times in my life. God hasn't changed. And my need certainly has not changed. If it has, it's greater. I just wonder at times if we would be stunned at how silent it is in heaven over the prayers that aren't being prayed privately, personally. There's also not just nothing to hear personally, but there's nothing B to hear corporately. Corporately. What do I mean by that? Your personal prayer life, that's what you're doing at home. That's what you're maybe doing driving down the road, hopefully with your eyes open. That's what your walking conversation with the Lord is like. Corporately is when we get in the same room together and we pray together. What's to be heard then? I want you to notice in chapter 6, if you've got your Bible, flip there, or turn your tablet there, phone, whatever it may be. I want you to see this. And we'll have several of these up on the screen. There may be some I reference that aren't there. I want you to see what's happening here. We referenced verse 22 a minute ago. This is all Solomon praying. Okay, this whole thing, it's a quote of Solomon's prayer. Verse 24, "Or if your people Israel are defeated before an enemy because they have sinned against you, and return and confess your name and pray and make supplication before you." Is that private or corporate? It's corporate. Verse 26, "When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against you, and when they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you afflict them." Is that personal or corporate? It's corporate. Verse 32, "Moreover, concerning a foreigner who is not of your people Israel, but has come from a far country for the sake of your great name and that your mighty hand, your outstretched arm, when they come and pray in this temple." Verse 34, "Your people go out and battle against the enemies wherever you send them. And when they pray to you toward this city you have chosen in the temple which I have built for your name." It just goes on. That in Solomon's prayer, he both has this focus of private, but then this focus of corporate. And a lot of times it's corporate repentance. And can we just be gut-level honest this morning? If God answered every prayer that we prayed this week corporately, what difference would it make for the glory of God? And I'm glad we need prayer lists and we need prayer chains and we need those things. And I'm grateful for those. And But I'm talking about us praying, not just listing something, but really praying. What would God do? I think one of the great tragedies in the American church, if you will, churches across America, is, you know, we have a lot of folks upset that prayer has been taken out of school, but let's be honest with you, prayer oftentimes is not found in the church. And for that, I'm guilty. I'm held responsible. That you can't read the book of Acts and not help but see the church praying together corporately. James says, "You lust and you do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask." Even James said, there's prayers that are not answered because they are prayers that are not prayed. Read the parable of Luke 18, 1 through 8. And the widow is begging and she won't take no for an answer. She just consistently. In verse Luke 18:5, the judge says, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said with himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." You know, it's saying, "Oh man, I'm just gonna keep stacking wood. I'm gonna keep stacking the wood. Eventually, it's gonna get enough that you can't ignore it." That God's going to send revival. God's going to answer. God's going to work. So you're making more out of that. No, keep reading. Listen to what it says. "Then the Lord said, 'Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge him speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Say, man, she just kept crying out. And the unjust judge finally said, all right, I've had enough. Let me just answer her so I can get away. And Jesus said, how much more will the Father? Dear friend, I think that at times I've missed the movement of God because there are prayers that have gone unprayed. Look again at chapter 6. And we don't have this up on the screen, but I want you to get this picture. Chapter 6, verse 22. Notice the pattern here. Verse 22, if anyone sins, this is the beginning of Solomon's prayer. Verse 23, then hear, circle or underline hear. Verse 24, or if your people, verse 25, then hear, circle or underline hear. Verse 26, when the heavens, verse 27, then hear, circle or underline hear. Verse 28, when there is, verse 30, then hear, circle or underline hear. Verse 32, moreover, concerning a foreigner. Verse 23, then hear, circle or underline hear. Verse 34, when your people, 35, then hear. 36, when they sin. Verse 39, then hear. Verse 40, the end of the verse. And let your ears be attentive to the prayer made in this place. Solomon is begging for the ear of God. He's praying, begging God, when we get away from you, when this happens, when that happens, personally we come back, corporately we come back, God, will you hear? God, will you hear? God, will you hear? God, will you let the prayer of your people, will you let your ear be attentive when your people pray? Chapter 7, man, God works, they sacrifice, he sends everybody home. And a few weeks later, listen to the pattern of his prayer. If this happens, then God, you do this. If this happens, then you do this. If this happens, then you hear. If this happens, then you hear. You get the idea? Now listen, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If God answers, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, listen, and pray, and seek my face. By the way, that's a different level of earnestness of praying. Turn from their wicked ways, listen. Then I will hear. Solomon said, will you hear the prayers of your people from this place? God said, I will hear from heaven. Church, we have direct access to the throne room of heaven. And God wants to hear and answer our prayers. But I'm afraid we just hadn't been praying. I'm afraid there's prayers that we've left unprayed. I'm afraid that we've gotten so weary and so worn down that we're just not asking God anymore. Has God changed? No. Can God? Yes. Is He going to send revival on September 8th? I don't have the foggiest idea, but I know this. If we don't stack the wood, God won't send it. I know that. And so I'm just asking you this morning, is God hearing your prayers? Is there unconfessed sin in your life? Is there somebody here that's lost and need to be saved? Or have we just quit praying? We need to pray. And so this morning is a call for you to pray. Let me just say this. Next several weeks, I'm saying it now and I'll repeat it. There's nothing supernatural about this spot right here. There's not. But I do think there is something when we put ourselves in a position of humility and make ourselves uncomfortable, that it makes us ready to encounter the Lord. And there's some of you physically able, you just cannot physically come and kneel at the altar. You physically at your house, you just can't get down on your knees and pray. God knows that, and I believe, man, He meets you right where you're at, because it's about the humility of the heart and not our physical posture. But some of us are physically able, and getting in a humble posture helps us humble our heart and recognize, God, I need You. And I can tell you this, that if you'd say, Pastor, I need to hear from the Lord, I need a fresh touch from the Lord, I can tell you this with every fiber of my being, God will meet you right there because He's met me. In the next few weeks, you may just want to come and kneel at the altar. You may just want to come sit on the front pew. I've seen folks, they come and just stand because they physically can't get on their knees. But they remember what it was like to be on the altar and ask God to do what only He can. Dear friend, I'm not trying to make it where it seems like we have more people come to the altar. Man, if we have a whole, everybody in the aisle this morning, or in the pew comes this morning, and there's no sincerity, there's no brokenness, man, God's not within 100 miles of that thing. But I am telling you, I believe with everything of who I am that there is a response to the Lord this morning that He is calling for. And you may just pray right where, and that's fine. That's what the Lord leads you to do. That's what you do. But I'm just telling you, as your pastor, there's going to be some encouragement to come, if you're able, to get on this altar and pray and storm heaven with the prayers of His people, asking God to do what only He can. If you will, bow your head and close your eyes with me. God in heaven, I pray this morning. I don't know what You want to do, and I don't know exactly what You're calling each of us to. But God, I believe with all my heart, Lord, You've led us here for a moment just like this. And so God, I pray that, Lord, we would be obedient to You this morning. And that, God, I trust that You will hear the prayers of Your people today. And so, God, I pray if there's folks who need to repent, I pray they'd repent. I pray, God, if there's just folks, if whatever reason, they've just stopped praying, God, I pray that it'd be renewed and a fire would be stirred in their bones this morning. God, You do in these next few moments what only You can do. This invitation is open for you. God spoke to your heart this morning and you want to come and pray, you come and pray. If you want to make an altar right where you're at and kneel and pray, you do that. You need to go pray with somebody, you go pray. You come now. If God stirred your heart, you come. Thank you.
every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in my lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in my lungs.
Thank you so much for being here. I hope that you will plan to stick around. Our men are going to begin to take their place, help us take up the offering today. And just say, just want to say thank you so much for your faithfulness to give, and just consistent and dedicated, and really, really grateful for your faithfulness. And so, just again, thank you. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for sacrificing so that we can continue to do the work and ministry that the Lord has placed our church here for. And so I really appreciate that. Let me invite you again to stay around. We have our potluck meal immediately following the service. And so if you'll excuse my pointing, in case you don't know, you can go around the hallway here, and there's a hallway on the other side of this wall. And follow to that end, and food will be there, and then we'll eat in the fellowship hall. And again, just an opportunity for us to say thank you to Miss Linda and her time of service here at Second, and so very grateful for her. Please make note, September 8th is when our revival meeting will begin with Dr. Sam Moore. So I hope you already be praying about that. We're going to post some things in terms of prayer emphasis for the next several weeks, and join us tonight. The address is in the bulletin if you need any information, or if you want my number to know maybe how to get there, or in case you have any issues, please reach out to me. Love to see you tonight at 6:30 at our home, okay? All right, well, let's stand together, and we will pray and ask the Lord to be with our food and be dismissed, all right? Thank you so much for being here. God in heaven, thank you for today. I thank you for how you love and care for us, and Lord, I thank you for the food that's been provided. I ask you to bless it, nurse to our body. Lord, thank you for Linda and her time of service here at the church. We are extremely grateful for that, and Lord, I pray you bless her and Mark, and just thank you so much for how you love and care for us. Help us to be a witness for you, and Lord, stir our heart, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God's